Are you a higher education professional who is passionate about social justice? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to JP Speaks, the Social Justice and Inclusion Podcast for higher education professionals, with your host, Jamie Pepperato.
Welcome. This is your host, Jamie Pepperato, and this is the very first episode of JP Speaks, the Social Justice and Inclusion Podcast for Higher Education Professionals. Since this is the first episode, I want to go really into a little bit more about myself than I normally would. Again, my name is Jamie Pepperato, and I am the voice you will be hearing from every month. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm currently located in South Carolina. Now, a little bit over a year ago today, I opened up my own higher education consulting and speaking business in hopes, really, to provide quality professional development faculty, staff, and students, really around the topics of social justice and leadership. I'm a proud alum of SUNY Cortland, Go Red Dragons, as well as Indiana University of Pennsylvania Student Affairs and Higher Education Program. Now, feel free to visit my website at jamiepepperato.com for more details about who I am and the type of services I provide. Now, one of my initiatives out of my business is to provide free professional development resources to student affairs professionals and college students. This podcast is serving as one avenue in which I hope to provide content. Throughout the year, I will release monthly episodes that focus on the intersection of social justice and inclusion on various aspects of higher education. Really, I want to bring the experts to you, if you would. And as a result of my background working in the South, you will find that I often try to center the narrative around professionals working in the conservative corners of our country. At the end of every episode, I'm going to ask our guests to provide you, the audience, really a call to action. And throughout the month, I'm going to ask that you share your experience completing that call to action by using the hashtag JPSpeaks. Lastly, if there are any folks that you would like to hear on here, feel free to shoot me an email at info@jamiepepperato.com, and I'll do my best to get them on here. This podcast is for you, and so I welcome you to drive the direction that we go. To give you a little glimpse into our near future, some of our upcoming guests will include Dr. Vijay Pendekar, Chris Mosier, and Ava Vega Olds. And today, I have the very special honor of introducing my friend Dr. Paul Gordon Brown as our guest. Dr. Paul Gordon Brown is a scholar, consultant, and speaker specializing in student learning and development's intersection with technology, social media, and design. As an independent speaker and consultant, he has keynoted conferences and spoken to diverse audiences nationally and internationally, from, get this, Canada to Dubai. Paul recently defended his doctoral dissertation at Boston College entitled College Students, Social Media, Digital Identities, and the Digitized Self, and continues his research on the impact of social media on college student development. Now, many of you may know Paul by his mass presence on social media. He can be found on any social media outlet, sharing either his latest found knowledge on social media or his latest encounter with his beloved JetBlue. Today's episode, Paul and I will be discussing the recently added technology competency introduced last year by ACPA and NASPA. Paul is going to give us a background about the development of this competency area and the important things that we might need to know as student affairs professionals when it comes to the intersection of social justice and technology. Let's check it out. All right. So, Paul, let's jump right into it. So if you could just kind of give you a brief biography, include pronouns, and maybe within that kind of discuss how you became passionate about technology and incorporating it into the profession.
Sure. My name is Paul Brown. I go by Paul Gordon Brown because if you try to Google Paul Brown, you'll find a lot of other people that aren't me. So usually when I'm online, I use that middle name in there. And I'm a current PhD student in higher education at Boston College, and I'm studying technology, social media, and how it impacts the college student experience. So my main kind of research question is, how do college students conceptualize themselves online? How do they view that when they're on social media, and what does that mean? And so I also sit on the governing board of ACPA, which will come into play a little bit later with my connection with some of the competencies, and recently just finished an interim dean of students role at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. So now it's dissertation full time, and then job search come the spring.
Awesome. Well, good luck with the job search. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about the development of the competency, the technology competency, in particular, and who had a hand in it? What was underlying purpose? I know that some folks have been calling for it for a while now. So maybe if you can kind of give us the inside scoop of that.
Sure. So the original competency document was developed 5 years ago, right? 2010. And that was really in kind of the lead up to when there was the consolidation vote and all these other things were going on between ACPA and NASPA on whether they should join as organizations. What does the future of the profession look like? Competencies played a little part in that, too, is that shouldn't there be kind of a unified voice, but also maybe a unified set of competencies for what student affairs professionals need to achieve. And so in that document, it actually says that every 5 years it should be reviewed and revised. And so that's what set off, this most recent round of revisions. And as it relates to the technology competency, originally when folks looked at it back in 2010, they said, should this stand on its own or should it be kind of a thread that's throughout all of the different competency areas? And where they arrived was that it should be a thread, meaning it's important, it should be present. It's not enough to stand on its own, but it needs to be present throughout all of them. And so this go around, it was decided that technology is advanced enough and has impacted our work enough that really there are some things that are just about technology that sure intersect with other things, but that really need to kind of be addressed. And so that's what led to this development of the technology competency area on its own.
Great. Fantastic. So, thank you. And what do you see as really the most important reason why this particular area has, why we need it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you think about the past 5 years in terms of MOOCs coming online, the way that online courses are really taking off, the pressure to have, more less expensive options for getting a college degree, and technology is really seen as an opportunity to enhance that. That's really gained a lot of steam within the last 5 years. And so that impacts student affairs work. How does student affairs look when you're students are taking classes online? It probably looks really different. And technology is much more called upon to be integrated into our work. It's just a very different time than it was 5 years ago. And it looks like more and more that technology is going to be our means for delivery for a lot of portions of education. So that's why I think it's becoming so much more critical, and we're kind of reached a point where probably 5 years ago, I don't know that it probably should have been included. I think that was probably not an unreasonable call on their part. But now I understand why it would be different.
Great. Thank you. And so, as you know, when I first contacted you, I described how this podcast is really going to focus on social justice and inclusion. And so that's going to lead me into my next question. In relation to those areas, what issues or topics will professionals need to really focus on as it relates to this technology competency area?
Yeah. One of the things about the competency, at the very beginning of the document, they have, I think they call it the flower, but it's this pinwheel type diagram that shows, or is meant to show, that all of the competencies really overlap and intersect in some ways. And that's true, because if you look at the technology competency, you can see the different competency areas encompassed within it. So the social justice and inclusion competency, very much I can see where that is, with the overlap. And in particular, if you go dig into the technology competency, I think what you'll find is there's a few things very specific about social justice and inclusion aspects. One, you'll see a lot of mention of universal design. Technology usually helps in universal design. It's not the only part of it, but technology has a big role to play in how do you make something that's universally accessible by everyone, regardless of ability or any other status, really. So universal design shows up quite prominently within there. Accessibility to technology, meaning does someone have access to the technology itself? So that could carry on a socioeconomic status, perhaps, dimension to it. Does someone have enough money to purchase the actual technology that they need to use? How do we make sure that technology is available to them to be used regardless of that? So that access to the technology also comes up. As well as there's also, and I don't know that this is, it's present within there, it talks about civil discourse online. And so I think that has a very kind of social justice connotation in that. How do you discuss difficult issues online? Should you discuss them? What does that look like? What's your responsibility in that? How do you set up those kinds of conversations? So there's also, how do you engage in civic discourse, which intersects with that? So those are just a few of the ways, probably the most main ways that you'd see it come up. One of the things I tried to do, I did in a blog post actually just a couple weeks ago, was I tried to break out the different thematic areas that were going on in the competency. And one of them is this access, universal design, and social justice theme. So it's definitely present within there. Like, I found that when I was going through it.
Great. Thank you. And for those who are listening, we'll make sure to link to your blog post in the show notes so that folks can access that and see that breakout, if you would. That's great. And then, so now for professionals, because I'm really action oriented, right? So how can professionals really refine their skills in this area? And maybe what are some of those resources? What does that look like?
Yeah. Well, some of the if you look at some of the research, you know, I'm a doctoral student, so I like to look at the research. I like to do the research. You know, it's present. It's not a large volume of research yet. Like, we haven't reached a critical mass. There's a few people that are really doing some great work. Ray Junco, Raynal Junco, he is probably producing the most within the student affairs kind of social media and technology kind of realm. And he does a lot of quantitative studies. He talks a lot about how might technology be impacting certain other factors in terms of engagement and things like that. That's really kind of his focus. He's a great person to connect with his research on. He just released a book last year that I think is probably, at least of what's out there, the best kind of comprehensive, let's take a look at everything approach to technology and student affairs work. So I would definitely take a look at his work. But there's also a number of kind of newly minted PhDs that are coming down the line. I include myself in that group, that we do want to do research on this, right?
Of course.
And that would be myself, Ed Cabellon, Josie Alquist, Paul Eaton, Adam Gizmondi. There's a few others here, but we've kind of created our own little like scholar group where we share things back and forth, and we all have a different angle. So Adam looks more at civic engagement. Josie looks at leadership. Paul Eden's looking at more development. Ed right now is looking more into the history and more of the technology, not just social media side. So we're all kind of taking a slightly different approach. So there's people out there that are doing this work, but there's also stuff just on the web and paying attention to what are the trends that are going on. What are some of the things that students are using? And even in my own research, and this is probably the best answer, ask students what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, tell me about that. Oh, why do you use that? Just ask them questions about it. Because even in my research, they said, oh, no one's ever asked me these questions. And I'm like, well, it's not rocket science, right? Like, if you want to learn about these, ask the students, because they're still figuring it out too. So I think people tend to skip over that. Like, there's somehow some holy grail that's written somewhere, or they learn this other than when it's just right there in front of them. Just ask their students and start to figure it out.
Of course, great. And I'm not sure if, because I know you do a lot of research, and it's all great. Is there any type of resources or websites or anything or folks outside of the student affairs profession that is really focusing on this area that you would recommend folks also check out?
Yeah. I'm a little partial because I collaborated with him on a book to Eric Coleman's work on digital reputation. You know, we collaborated on the book, What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube, which is really an attempt to talk to students about what are some of the new rules of interacting online, what follows you online, how do you do that? And the thing I like about that book that we kind of worked on is it's very accessible. It does talk about things in a kind of more of a, here's some simple rules, which if you're talking to a first-year student who developmentally, you know, might not have a complex understanding of the consequences of their actions, rules work really well. Like they can get the rule, even maybe if they don't understand fully why, they can get that. And then as they grow throughout college, they kind of tend to internalize that. And I'm even finding that in my own research is that there is that progression. And I'm actually speaking to a group of high school students coming up later this month about this type of stuff. So it needs to be talked about. So I like Eric's stuff quite a bit. Sherry Turkle, who is out at MIT, she produces some really interesting stuff. And it's not just heavy research stuff, too. It's really accessible and interesting. She did some stuff where she looked at how technology is integrated with different people's identities. Talking with someone who is deaf and how the cochlear implant integrates into their lives and what does that mean. And just some of the technology stuff she does is really interesting, especially as it relates to identity. So the other one is Dana Boyd, who did, I'm going to mash up the title, but it's the connected lives, the social lives of connected teens, some kind of combination of those words. But that's another work that I love. And she really gets into what's their experience online. And that talks more about kind of, you know, high school, teenage years, but of course that certainly blends into our time. And so she would be another one that that book is just, it's a great way to really get insights into how students are using things.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, that was very helpful. And thank you so much for going into everything. Now, for our listeners, and I always like to do this at the end of the episodes, what would be one challenge that you have for them? So what should they do after this episode, after listening to this, to kind of better themselves and the profession in this topic?
Yeah. I would, harking back to what I mentioned earlier, I would go ask a student, how do you use technology? What do you think about it? How do you portray yourself online? Ask them a bunch of questions about technology and how they use it, because the thing that consistently comes up in my research is that students find that valuable and it's not something that we're doing. And so that would be my very simple, you can do it very easily challenge. Grab a student and just start asking them a whole bunch of questions.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Well, listeners, that's your charge for the day or for the week. Grab a student and start asking tons of questions and use the data, right? So use the information that you receive to actually implement change or better something. That's great. Thank you so much, Paul. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on here. I mean, now we'll be sure to put all of the different resources that you mentioned within the show notes.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So there you have it, folks. The first official episode of JP Speaks, the Social Justice and Inclusion Podcast for Higher Education Professionals. Just as a reminder, when completing the call to action that Paul provided us, please use the hashtag JP Speaks so that we can build some community and also hold one another accountable, because sometimes we need that. Also, stay tuned for next month's episode with our guest, Dr. Vijay Pendekar. Vijay just recently released his book, which I want to mention. It's called Closing the Opportunity Gap, and I am actually standing right here looking at the cover. This book is full of information, and it provides you not only the knowledge, but the action steps to implement in order to really close the opportunity gap, and I appreciate that. We always need those action steps. So, go out, grab a copy, and meet us back here next month while we discuss all of the goodness inside. All right, folks, have an amazing month.
Thanks so much for listening to JP Speaks, the Social Justice and Inclusion Podcast for Higher Education Professionals with your host, Jamie Pepperato. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit jamiepepperato.com. We'll catch you next time.